Is 2012 the year the world ends? Is planet Earth going to be destroyed by a giant meteor or a nuclear holocaust? Mankind has long speculated about how and when the world will end, but all the self-proclaimed prophets of doom have thus far been wrong. Hey, if God started the world, maybe he has something to say about how he will end it. That's exactly what we'll learn in the exciting, enlightening, and extremely entertaining video, The End Times.
I'm John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, the teacher of this rockin' one-of-a-kind overview of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You will learn how to live as a Christian in this crazy world, and you'll also learn the truth about the end times and the good news that we win.
Order your copy of The End Times today for only $39. Go to tltf.org/end. That's tltf.org/end and get one of God's greatest gifts, peace of mind. That's tltf.org/end.
Someone to share about it today is our good friend John Lynn out in the great state of Indiana with the Living Truth Fellowship. John has been our one regular guest here that has been on our show, and each time we have had audiences just flock to our show, and we'll find out later on how many of you flock, but usually a million plus are chirping in and listening, and it's interesting that we're talking about the Word of God. Isn't it amazing that God is our only advertising agency, and when we're talking directly about the truth of his Word, boom, the biggest audience is there. And we're going out live right now. Our good friend John Lynn is with us. And John, merry late Christmas to you. Yours was a good one, I understand.
Yes, Rob, thank you so much. I might like to shoot hoops here today, but we have 9 inches of snow that fell yesterday, so it was a white day after Christmas, and it's going to be white for a while because the temperature is not going above freezing for quite a while, according to the weatherman. Glad to be here, and of course, I did expect, you and I booked this date some time ago prior to December 21, and of course, I did expect to be on because I know what the Bible says about how God, who began the world, quote, quote, is going to end it. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today, and that will segue us into the talking about the horrific event in Newtown, Connecticut, a couple weeks ago, of course, where all the people and the many children were killed. First of all, as I've said, I've been on the show 6, 7, 8 times now. Unless the Bible's right, everything I say is baloney. There is no standard whatsoever if the Bible's not right. Life is a total crapshoot. Everyone sets his own truth, and that's insane. And so, of course, underlying that is the ridiculous idea of Darwinian evolution, which makes life meaningless and purposeless, and that there was no point to creation by a creator, a design by a designer, because there was no designer and no creator. Well, that's not only ignorant, it's unscientific, it's groundless, and it's mathematically impossible. The odds of a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a 747 are better than the odds that everything came out of nothing. No, God is the creator, and we, within about a month, are going to release the best tool I know of on the planet, a foundational class of approximately 24 hours called One Day with the Creator. And any person may get it, and anyone who listens to it will see a curriculum that will take him from absolute ignorance about Scripture to being able to open it anywhere in the book and derive the author's originally intended meaning. It is a wonderful video presentation. It's hilarious. It's entertaining. It's poignant. It's moving. You will laugh. You will cry. But most of all, you will embark upon the most exciting learning adventure on the earth, which is coming to know Jesus Christ and his Father. And so what the Bible says is that God had a purpose once upon a time. And so he wanted a family, and so he made two people. But first he made the earth and all that's on it to bless them and the perfect progeny that he intended them to produce. God's original goal, clearly stated in the book of Genesis, is, hey, I want you guys, you two, you first two humans, to multiply and fill up the earth, and we'll have lots of fun forever, a perfect race living on a perfect earth. Well, they had free will, because without free will, love is not love. And if you're married, you know that. You don't want to be married to a robot who is programmed to love you. You want a spouse who loves you even when you are unlovable, because he or she makes a choice to do so. And so that's why God gave people free will, and they chose to spit in his face. Adam did anyway. Eve was deceived. And so the war began. Now, actually, the war had begun long before Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Genesis indicates that also. The cosmic battle that began long before the earth was renovated 6,000 years ago. Many Christians erroneously teach that the earth was created 6,000 years ago. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it was renovated. It was reconstructed, because the original earth of Genesis 1:1 was trashed by a cosmic war. And there are many, many things in the Bible about that, and we address some of them in our upcoming foundational class. But it was never God's intent that there would be a war with death and sickness and casualties and evil and wickedness. When Adam took the choke and began to produce a race of knuckleheads like me, I won't speak for you all out there in radio land, God did not lose sight of his original purpose. And that's why he instituted Plan B, or Plan J. We know him as Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him the last Adam. And as I've said before, the whole Bible is a story of two men. First guy wrecked everything, second guy's fixing it. And it will be fixed. God will, quote, quote, end the world as we know it to achieve the purpose of which he has never lost sight. Now, the chronology on the heavenly calendar, the next event is the gathering together of the church. Now, all of this is covered. You just heard a commercial for our five-hour video presentation, 8 segments called The End Times. If you don't have it, you should get it if you're interested in biblical truth, because it's the best overview I know of what is going to happen. And the next thing that's going to happen is the church, every Christian, everyone who has confessed with his mouth Jesus is Lord and believed in his heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you've done that, you're born again, whether you know it or not. You might have done it when you were 4 years old. Your neighbor took you to church. They had an altar call. You got saved. You've never been back to church or opened the Bible since. No problem. You're still born again. And that means, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, when Christ comes, he will meet the church in the air. Every Christian will instantly vanish. That is the next event on the biblical chronology. But no one knows when it's going to be, and there are no signs preceding the rapture, the gathering together of the church. Every Christian vanishes about 7 years later. We come back led by Jesus Christ. He will put an end to the horror that has ensued on the earth after the church has been taken out. And we will fight and win the battle of Armageddon with him, after which he will set up a millennial, 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. It will be slightly renovated after all the horror of the tribulation and Armageddon. and we will help him administer it. And at the end of that 1,000 years, there will be the final white throne judgment, and all wicked people will be destroyed, and then we will have a new heaven and a new earth. The point I want to make that I'll elaborate on after the break is God and Christ will eradicate evil and wickedness so their original purposes can be achieved.
Well, which is a good thing, and I'm just blessed that we're all still here. But, you know, according to the way it's laid out and what you're talking about, John, and we've got about a minute before the break here, is that it will all be well when new times come upon us anyways, correct?
Absolutely, and I'm going to share a lot about that near the last segment of the program today. There is so much hope. We have a wonderful, magnificent hope, and that hope is the bottom line of life as we live in this fallen world.
Yes, and we definitely need some more hope as we end 2012. Can you imagine, just a couple of days away as we are here on, Thursday, the 27th of December. Great to have you with us. My name is Rob Ecknow. We are live in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. Our good friend John Lynn is with us from the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana, TLTF. They make it real simple, TLTF.org. Go on there. Get a copy of their end times videos so you don't have to participate in the insanity that so many else others did only a few days back, and all the crazy stuff that went on. And you'll be able to learn the truth and also see more of their wonderful teachings about the truth one day with the Creator coming out shortly. It's going to be their latest release. You can find out more about that as well. We'll be right back. John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana is our guest today. We're going through the fact that the era did not end just a few days ago. And John, we're getting into more on that. And God, you know, kind of doing some cleansing of the earth and eradicating some evil coming up in who knows when. We don't know, do we?
No, but I want to talk about the fact that he's trying to do that on the earth now to a degree. But I appreciate during that commercial break, I was listening to the Wounded Warrior advertisement, and I thought, well, hey, Jesus is never going to leave anyone behind. Every Christian is a wounded warrior. Now, some are not fighting currently because they're just sitting on their rear ends doing nothing for the Lord, but we're all wounded because we're descendants of Adam, so we came from the factory deeply wounded, deeply flawed. That's why we need a Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes us whole on the inside. I'm going to be talking about the Connecticut shooting and so forth. There's no way to change a human heart except Jesus Christ from the inside out. No superimposed laws and programs and all that kind of thing will change the inherently wicked human heart. Now, not everyone manifests the sin nature that he inherited from Adam as becoming some serial killer or, you know, shooting up a bunch of people in a school or movie theater. No, most people, your next door neighbor is probably a nice person. Even if he's not a Christian, he tries to, you know, get along with people and so forth. But deep within the human psyche, everyone has the potential to be a psycho. And that is why only the new birth and the acquisition thereby of the divine nature of Jesus Christ will change anyone from the inside out. And of course, throughout history, there have been millions of testimonies of very bad people who met Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was one of them. You can read about it, Acts chapter 9. Jesus met him at high noon on the road to Damascus and said, "Draw, Saul." And Saul went for leather, but Jesus pierced his heart with a love bullet. So Jesus will one day, as I said, completely eradicate evil and wickedness so that God's original purpose of a perfect race living on a perfect earth will come to pass. But what about now? Here we are about to start 2013, and the United States is in probably the worst shape that it's been in for a long time. The statistics of every kind of drugs, teen pregnancy, obesity, on and on, poverty, out of work, food stamps, we're fighting wars around here and there and so forth and so on. So what about now? How is God going about trying to keep evil at bay? Because the Bible says his goal is to spread the gospel. 1 Timothy 2:4 says he wants everyone to be saved. Now that means you, wherever you are around the world listening to this, he wants you to be saved. That's not the end of the verse. It says he wants you to come unto a thoroughly acquired knowledge of the truth. And the only truth is in the Word of God. And of course, Jesus Christ is the living Word because he perfectly lived the written Word. So what do we learn from the Bible about how God wants to keep evil at bay now? We go back to Genesis chapter 9. Noah came off the ark with a bunch of pets. And what did God tell him? He said, look, bro, I will not flood the place again, I promise. And why did God flood it? To eradicate the evil that would have very likely overcome the only 8 decent people out of 15 or 20 million on the planet. That would be Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. God had to start over, if you will. But when they came off the ark, he said, listen, you guys keep order. And that penalty was the basis of civil law. You can read it, Genesis chapter 9. God instituted civil government. Now, why? So that bad people would be kept at bay. They would either be put to death if they were really bad, or they could be rehabilitated by a program that God set up with Israel and so forth. It was very cool, a mentoring kind of program. People were put to death, no question. That's the end of them. We're not going to waste time or money on rehabilitating them. And that's God's idea. I mean, what do you want? Some psycho living next door to you? I don't think so. Now, did God intend for the kinds of people who currently occupy positions of government to be in those positions? Now, not all of them are wicked and evil, but many of them are and have been throughout the millennia since Genesis chapter 9. The very people who are supposed to be keeping evil at bay are perpetrating evil on a scale that is indescribable, okay? But, now how do we know what's good and what's evil? I'll tell you how you know. Here's what you do. You think, that's the first thing you do, and you say, what do I not like people to do to me? Oh, kill, steal, punch, paint, whatever, So then that would be a clue to you, oh, okay, then that's what I should not do to other people. Jesus summed up God's behavioral standard in the world-famous golden rule, okay? Because if everyone did unto others what they want others to do unto them, guess what there would be? Peace on earth. You might have gotten a Christmas card recently, and it might have said, peace on earth. That's what the angel said to the shepherds at the birth of Christ. Peace on earth. Now, you got all these. I'm going to talk about the stupidest bumper sticker, I think, that exists. But you have people, peace, world peace, and so forth. There will never be peace on earth until the Prince of Peace establishes that peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. How will Jesus Christ bring total and absolute peace on earth during his 1,000-year kingdom? Ready? What was the question? How will Jesus bring peace? War. Because war is the only way to bring peace. Why? Because the problem is evil. There's a devil. Just put a big D in front of evil, and you have the devil. And the Bible talks about him. Because there is wickedness and evil, you cannot, here we go, coexist. Now, we sell a bumper sticker that says death sucks. But I think the coexist bumper sticker with little rabbits and flowers around it and so forth, whatever, it is the most ignorant, the most oblivious to reality bumper sticker out there. Because you can't coexist with evil. It will destroy you if you do not destroy it. It's very simple, and history attests to that. So Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God the first time he came to the earth by way of his birth, and his blood was shed for the sin of mankind. But when he comes back, he will be the Lion of Judah. And the blood in the Battle of Armageddon, it says in the book of Revelation, will be up to the bridles of the horses. Jesus Christ will establish perfect peace by eradicating evil.
Wow. I'm just sitting here mesmerized listening to it all, because you see a lot of those bumper stickers around, especially out here in Southern California, the coexist and so on and so forth. And a lot of people print a lot of stuff and say a lot of things without actually, you know, as you basically said, being ignorant to what the word is and what reality is. And we're going to talk more about that. John Lynn is our very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, live from the great state of Indiana, the Living Truth Fellowship. Go online during the break and check it out. They've got a lot of amazing stuff on there about the truth of God. It's called TLTF.org. That's T like in Thomas, L like in Larry, T like in Thomas, and F like in Frank. TLTF.org. You can check out their end times video. You can check out some of their upcoming stuff. Lots and lots of great teachings on there as well. We're going to take ourselves a quick little break. Don't forget, we've got two more segments left. You don't want to miss out.
Is 2012 the year the world ends? Is planet Earth going to be destroyed by a giant meteor or a nuclear holocaust? Mankind has long speculated about how and when the world will end, but all the self-proclaimed prophets of doom have thus far been wrong. Hey, if God started the world, maybe he has something to say about how he will end it. That's exactly what we'll learn in the exciting, enlightening, and extremely entertaining video, The End Times.
I'm John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, the teacher of this rockin' one-of-a-kind overview of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You will learn how to live as a Christian in this crazy world, and you'll also learn the truth about the end times and the good news that we win.
Order your copy of The End Times today for only $39. Go to tltf.org/end. That's tltf.org/end and get one of God's greatest gifts. Peace of mind. That's tltf.org/end.
It's time to get back in your face with Rob Echno on Indy 104.
Welcome back. I hope you had a very merry, happy, and prosperous Christmas celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was very blessed, got to spend it with some amazing family, even had some conversations with some that have been a part of the family forever, but we've never really got into those deep conversations. And so this year, all of a sudden, out of the blue, we're having conversations with each other that we've never had before, learning that much more about each other. And that's what we're doing today, is learning more and more about our wonderful Creator, God, and all that he has planned for us and the future. And, you know, we don't know every answer, but we know that he is laying out some truths and some facts, and nobody more knows that than our good friend John Lynn of the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana. And John, we're going along here talking about the end times, which obviously didn't happen when man predicted it, as the Bible says it wouldn't. And we're also talking about eradicating evil so God can set up this wonderful palace of peace and tell us more about God's will and going into that direction.
Well, I sure will. Thank you, Rob. You're very kind. You're kind of, I don't know that I know more than anyone else, but I think there's a lot of people that may know more than I, but I'm trying. I know more than I did yesterday. How about that? So as long as we keep going in that direction. So we talked about, on the last segment, the coexist bumper sticker, which is just absolutely absurd, because you can't coexist with someone who is unwaveringly bent on your destruction. Either he will kill you, or you kill him. Now, some people say, let's put him in prison forever, and then we pay for them by our taxes, and so forth and so on. So that's not God's solution. It was either basically annihilating the very wicked people and rehabilitating those who could be. And God's got it figured out, but people want to be God, so they think they know more than God. And so we're talking about the problem of evil brings us to the horror of what happened recently in the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. And an unspeakable, indescribable, I mean, I cried. I was lifting weights and reading the newspaper several days after and reading about one of the accounts of one of the funerals and what one of the mothers whose little boy was killed said, and I just got all teared up there while I was in the weight room. And I can't even imagine having to bury my little child, but millions of people have done so. Now, the first murder is talked about in the Bible. It's pretty famous. Cain killed Abel, and he was a murderer. Well, murder means unjustly determining the time of another person's death. Now, many people don't realize that the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, the commandment is not, thou shalt not kill. That's not true, because God instituted the death penalty. And self-defense is a legitimate biblical principle. If someone breaks into my house to try to kill me, I'm sorry, I can't let that happen. If I can prevent it, my life means something. So if I have to kill him, well, that's what I'm going to do, because my job is to spread the gospel, not to let a bad person put an end to my life. The proper translation in the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not murder. The word is murder, different word than kill. All murder is killing, but all killing is not murder. So there have been, oh golly, unfortunately, sad to say, millions of murderers. Now, there are famous ones like Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong, who, I mean, I saw some statistics recently about the hundreds of millions of people who have been murdered by evil rulers of one kind or another. So the problem is evil. It's a spiritual problem. And the solution is the annihilation of evil. As we see, how do we know? We read the last chapter of the Bible. Jesus Christ is going to destroy wicked people. Now, we've talked about before on other shows the so-called Christian idea about everlasting torment. Adolf Hitler, Saddam, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, all these guys, they are burning currently somewhere in the flames of so-called hell. That's absolutely a lie. It's not what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. Death is the end of life. There's nowhere the Bible says that wicked people will burn forever. They're going to burn up. That is the purpose of fire. Fire, as we have said, is not a preservative. So what happened in the horrible situation in Connecticut? A young man. Now, we can go back, oh, his mother did this and that, and all kinds of stories about him and so forth and so on. But at the bottom line, he never heard or heard and believed the truth about Jesus Christ, because that would have changed him and healed him. But for whatever reasons, he allowed a spirit of murder. You do not go to a school with a bunch of guns and systematically murder a bunch of little children unless you have a demon And the Bible calls them demons, evil spirits, and unclean spirits. They are the minions, the henchmen of the devil. They're like bad angels. There are good angels and bad angels in the devil in the Bible. They are spirit beings. And there are spirits of infirmity, spirits of deafness, spirits of blindness. You can read about it. Jesus cast out evil spirits. And there are spirits of murder. And somehow that young man opened his mind and these spirits got in there. They're always knocking at the door and they can't just come and go in and out of people. Many verses about this in the Bible. Okay, so there he is. He gets demonized. The Bible, the King James says possessed. That's a very bad translation of the Greek word daimonizomai, which means demonized, which means that he was under the influence of a demon. He gets all these guns and ammo, goes down there, breaks a window, comes in and executes, I guess, 26 people, 20 of them little children. Now, why didn't God stop him? Is that a good question? No, many people say God allowed that. Oh, good heavens, please don't ever believe that, because then you won't like God very much. Who would want to worship and follow a God or a Lord Jesus Christ who allowed those little children to be murdered and for other children to be scarred by watching their friends murdered? No, God did not stop that because he could not stop it, which begs another immediate question. Why could he not stop that young man? And the answer from the Bible is he did not have sufficient human cooperation. How do we know that? Because there was a big smelly giant named Goliath once upon a time back in the Bible, and he was terrorizing the people of Israel until a teenager named Dave showed up and said, "Dang, okay, God, I'll take that guy out for you." And he picked up a slingshot and five smooth stones, and whoa, that was the end of Goliath. How did the people of Israel stop the demonized pagan nations who were trying to destroy them? Now, those people didn't know that they were motivated by the devil who was trying to destroy the bloodline of the coming Messiah, the Redeemer of man. But Satan knew it. How did they stop them? God worked with them when they trusted him. All God needed at that school in Newtown, Connecticut, was one Christian walking with the power of God and taking full advantage of the power that the resurrected Christ has made available to each and every one of us. Now, you're going to deal with a spirit of murder like that, you're going to have to be tuned in and fired up and on the money. But a person could have intercepted, God could have spoken to a person and said, "Hey, there's a kid breaking in a window back there," and somebody could have gone back there and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, put those guns down and sit down on the floor," and then call the police. That's what could have happened. The other thing that could have happened is somebody with a gun could have gone and shot the kid before he shot anyone else. The principle involved, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, is peace through strength. And that's the principle we see throughout Scripture, and we'll talk more about that after the break.
Wow, very interesting. Man's intervention helping God. And that's the problem, is so many of us, we want to throw God out. We want to blame him for everything. And then all of a sudden, something like this insane tragedy happens, and these poor children and wonderful teachers and principals are all taken from us. And then we sit there and go, "God, where were you?" And we never look at ourselves, so many of us. And we got to start looking at ourselves from the inside and saying, what are we doing? What is our part in this picture, right? Are we adding color to the picture? Are we bringing the paintbrush? Are we bringing the canvas? What are we bringing to the picture to help God create this amazing vision that he has? My name is Rob Ecknell. So blessed to be with you. We still have a final segment. Man, I just love these shows. John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship is our very special guest. And go online during the break at tltf.org. Check out their great videos, their great teachings, all of the wonderful things about the truth.
Is 2012 the year the world ends? Is planet Earth going to be destroyed by a giant meteor or a nuclear holocaust? Mankind has long speculated about how and when the world will end, but all the self-proclaimed prophets of doom have thus far been wrong. Hey, if God started the world, maybe he has something to say about how he will end it. That's exactly what we'll learn in the exciting, enlightening, and extremely entertaining video, The End Times.
I'm John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, the teacher of this rockin' one-of-a-kind overview of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You will learn how to live as a Christian in this crazy world, and you'll also learn the truth about the end times and the good news that we win.
Order your copy of The End Times today for only $39. Go to tltf.org/end. That's tltf.org/end and get one of God's greatest gifts, peace of mind. That's tltf.org/end.
Welcome back. Boy, I am always so intrigued when I can learn more and more and more about the truth. And up to this point, I don't know anybody that is able to look at the black and white of the Bible and say, sorry, God, you are absolutely 100% incorrect. But many have been able to say by reading it, and one was the end of times, which people had been chatting about last week, perhaps on the 21st. Some then, when it didn't happen, said, okay, now it's going to be the 23rd. Just kind of some kind of insanity stuff that we do as humans, rather than just realizing that God is there for us. Our very special guest, John Lynn, is going to wrap things up for us. John, will we ever see peace on earth?
Hey, absolutely. And what we're going to talk about in closing is the peace that we can see in our own hearts in the midst of strife on the earth. But I really appreciated your comment at the end of the last segment when people ask, where was God? God and Christ were right there weeping about the fact that they could not stop that horror. And they were looking forward to the day when they will put an end to all murder, all killing, all all wickedness and all evil. The verse in Revelation 21, I think it is, says there will be no more crying, sorrow, or tears. Now, before we get to the fact that we can have this kind of peace on the inside through knowing Jesus Christ and walking with him, even in this field called life, I want to go on a little bit more about how God wants to stop evil, okay? And that what Rob said was so good. Where was God? He was right there. But he did not have sufficient human cooperation. Now look, I don't always perfectly cooperate with God. In fact, I've been a moron and worked against God more than once. But I am trying to grow in faith. Faith means trust. I'm trying to put the Word of God in my mind, get it down in my heart, so it comes out in my behavior, so that I can hear God. I want to be in tune with Him, because maybe I will be in a position someday where God says, hey, there's a demonized killer coming in the door with a bunch of guns. You need to get over there and confront him. Well, I want to be able to hear that, and then I want to have the courage to step up and stand in the gap, as it says in Ezekiel, that Jesus is going to do for us one day. God couldn't find anybody back then in Israel. He said, I just need one guy to stand in the gap. You want to look at it, it's Ezekiel 22, 30, and 31. And prior to those verses is a litany of groups of people who God could not count on. Well, what about the people? They're toast. Well, what about the government officials? They're morons. Well, what about the prophets and the priests? Oh, they're insane. On and on and on. You can read it. And then God says, oh, darn, I've just looking for one man to stand in the gap. And folks, you know, we still think, oh, it can't happen to me. Can't happen to me. I'll never be in a restaurant when some guy bursts in and starts shooting. Well, I hope not, and the odds are very much against it. Sure, the odds are in your favor that you're never going to experience that kind of thing. But it's not going to stop. That's not the last person who's going to shoot a bunch of people. Because until Jesus Christ comes and fixes everything, then we will experience these kinds of things. But God, first of all, remember, I said he instituted civil authority so as to keep bad people at bay so that good people could help him accomplish his purposes of spreading the gospel. Sad to say that many governments throughout history, well, the majority, have been very wicked. And there are many verses in Proverbs about that and how the people are freaking out when the rulers are wicked. And history shows that life is better when the government fears the people than when the people fear the government. And so we have all this after in the wake of Newtown. First thing that happened is I've read some estimates that there were 10 million guns sold and maybe a billion rounds of ammunition sold immediately after the Connecticut shooting. Why? Because people are afraid that the government is going to outlaw guns and assault weapons and so forth. Well, someone made the statement, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, I would have to add a Christian who knew how to cast out the spirit of murder. Then you wouldn't have to shoot the person. You could take the spirit out of him. But the point is that if someone comes at you to kill you, you need more power than he has, whether it's the Spirit of God power or a gun that can shoot him before he shoots you. Guns allow people to protect themselves from criminals, criminals inside the government and criminals outside the government. And there are some interesting statistics along that line. If you Google Kennesaw, Georgia, very, very interesting piece that you'll find. They're the only, see what it says here, they're the only place in America where it is compulsory to own a gun. And they passed a law in 1982. Now, when you read it, it says they really don't enforce it. You know, nobody goes to jail for not owning a gun. But the point is that if you read the statistics about crime there, they're quite impressive. Less than 2% of the crime is gun-related. There, you know, firearms are involved in less than 2% of the crime. Well, why? Wait a minute. Let's say you're a criminal and you want to break into someone's house and rob them. Would you rather break into someone's house who he has no gun or he has a gun? Duh! So the people around Kennesaw figure, oh my gosh, everybody's got a gun. So I don't think I'll be breaking in. I'm going to go to the next town up the road. Then you have Switzerland. And it ranks among the highest levels of gun ownership in the world. And only the United States and Yemen have more guns per capita. But in Switzerland, gun-related crime is remarkably low. 0.3 gun homicides per 100,000 inhabitants, where the U.S. was 4.2. And so you can read all kinds of things. Yes, there should be some regulations so that psycho people cannot buy guns and so forth. And if we had rational people believing the Word of God, we could institute that kind of things. Here's another statistic someone sent me. There are 700,000 doctors, this is from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, it says on the email he sent me, 700,000 doctors, every year there are 120,000 accidental deaths at the hands of doctors. That is 0.17%. There are 80 million gun owners in America, and every year there are 1,500 accidental deaths. That is 0.00002 per gun, as opposed to 0.17 per doctor. Now, I don't think anyone is going to start picketing and rioting about getting rid of doctors, okay? So the point is very simple and well taken: peace through strength. Well, so here we are about to go into 2013, and things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. That is the message of the church epistles. The Apostle Paul, writing as he is directed by the Lord Jesus Christ, says, hey, things are going to keep getting darker and darker until the Lord Jesus takes us out. That is why we are to be lights in the world. And basically what we're doing is rescuing people, pulling them out of the fire, if you will. We're like firemen for Christ. We're going to have to, well, we live in the burning building. It's called the world. And we're trying to pull people out, so to speak. And the real place that we're going to pull them out is inside their minds and inside their hearts. Because the best chance we have, first of all, to have any kind of peace in our hearts is to know the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And to know that God is on our side, Jesus is on our side, and then we align ourselves with a group of people who stand for the truth. Of course, we'd love for you to be a part of the Living Truth Fellowship. We don't really have much of a structure. We have a lot of affiliated fellowships here and there. We're trying to build that. We're coming out with a phenomenal presentation called One Day with the Creator. And if you would like to build a local fellowship, you can run that class over and over and over. It's only 20.
John, we only have 10 seconds left. Our show has come and gone. We're going to do it again in a few weeks. I know how quickly it's been. TLTF.org, ladies and gentlemen. Go online and hear more of John and his fabulous teachings and all of his group. That's TLTF.org. God bless you and yours. Have a very blessed day.